It's News Radio Pensacola. Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Well, I'm on my way. I don't know where I'm going. I'm on my way. I'm taking my time, but I don't know where. Goodbye to Rose and the Queen of Corona. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard.
Good morning, 809 News Radio 92.3. Hope you're having a good Friday so far. I'm Andrew McKay. It's a Pensacola Morning News. Good to have you with us. Julio Diaz is the host of Let's Go Pensacola, 4 o'clock on Saturdays. He talks about things in pop culture. And then he hosts the Pensacola Movie Club, watch movies, find out where they're watching things or what they're watching on Facebook, and then watch them in person and talk about them. Julio, welcome back, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. Father, mother, sister, brother. Is that right?
Yes, yeah, that's correct. So this is the latest film by Jim Jarmusch, who's a kind of a well-known art director, for lack of a better term.
Jim Jarmusch, no. Go on, fine. People love him. I'm a hater. Go on.
Are you not a fan?
Oh, God, no. No. In fact, I'll watch a movie that Jim's made, and then I'm like, oh, I hate this. And then I get to the end, I'm like, oh, duh. Go on.
Well, I don't necessarily think this is going to change your mind.
Okay.
This is a very beautifully made film. I think that he is a very skilled director, especially in terms of the look of his films. It's very artistic. His films are pieces of art, and I admire what he does, even if I don't necessarily always love it from a,
entertainment.
This is a movie I want to watch entertainment standpoint. Again, very beautifully made film, a great cast that features everyone from Tom Waits and Adam Driver to Cate Blanchett, Mayim Bialik, very diverse cast. It is kind of set up as a series of three short films that are all thematically connected. They're all about the relationships amongst family members.
Okay.
And there's a couple of little elements that go, but it is a very slow film. This is more of an art piece than it is a piece of entertainment.
Okay.
Is the best way I can put that.
Primate is one thing I think people have seen the ads for. Looks like a straight up standard own a monkey, he attacks the family horror, right?
Yeah, this would be the exact opposite of Father, Sister, Brother.
Oh, it's a high-end art piece, likely to get an Academy Award. Probably
yeah,
not.
This is very much made for entertainment and not much else. Although decent reviews on it. It's running in the 70% range on Rotten Tomatoes. Family pet chimpanzee goes rabid, and, that old saw.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, we built a whole franchise with Charlton Heston on the premise. Greenland 2, which I don't remember Greenland 1 being all that great. That was the, seed colony against the apocalypse. Gerard Butler has to get his family there. I mean, I love Miranda McCarran, don't get me wrong, but this is number 2 in that series, which I don't think anybody was asking for. Is that right?
Yeah, you're a step ahead of me because I didn't realize there was a Greenland 1 until I saw the trailer show this one. I was like, there was another one? But you say that, and it does spark a memory that, there was that. Yes, so this is the sequel to that, and they've got to, of course, leave the bunker and go somewhere else because that, otherwise there wouldn't be a movie. Gerard Butler does Gerard Butler-y things. I'd watch Marina Backer and read the phone book, but I'm not watching this.
Yeah, no, I'm in the same position with her. She's fantastic. But, leaving to go out and pretend that we're not playing just a version of The Walking Dead, I think, is kind of how I looked at the trailer. Is this thing on? What's that?
So this is a dramedy, I guess is the best way to put it, but it is very funny. Stars Will Arnett, who plays, and Will Arnett and Laura Dern, they are a couple who have amicably divorced, and the Will Arnett character becomes a stand-up comic, and tends to influence their post-divorce relationship. This is based on the real life.
Presumably the jokes
comedian.
Are largely about her. I assume that's part of the premise here.
Well, I mean, not entirely, but, they both try to move on and find out maybe moving on isn't necessarily what they want to do.
Okay.
This is based on the actual life of a real British comedian. Decent reviews on this. This is running in the 84% range on Rotten Tomatoes.
Well, Laura Dern's awesome. And as long as Will Arnett's allowed to play Will Arnett and not try to act, I'm sure the film is quite good.
Actually gotten very good reviews for his acting in this one.
Oh, okay. All right.
Maybe this will be the one that changes your mind.
I Was a Stranger. Is that the last one?
Yeah, this is the last one. This is kind of one of those Crash, Babel kind of movies where a bunch of strangers end up affecting each other without necessarily even knowing that they're coming together.
The tapestry of human relationships interacting.
Right. I mean, get decent reviews on this. This is a thoroughly acceptable week at the movies. So there's nothing that's overwhelmingly great, but nothing that's overwhelmingly terrible either.
What are you guys going to watch next week?
Not 100% sure yet. I know we had discussion about last night, and I've completely forgotten what we talked about.
Yeah, that's
fine. A little something else that was occupying my thoughts because we had a big Pensacon.
Yeah, I'm going to let you say it. This is pretty big news. Who's coming to Pensacon now?
Yeah, so we're very excited that Will Wheaton is going to be joining us. The star of Star Trek: The Next Generation and Stand By Me. And, of course, played himself for years on The Big Bang Theory. And
right.
A lot of people, I think, may know him for that more than anything else. But, you know, also a very distinguished author. He's very well-regarded as an audiobook narrator. He's created his own programming. He's a blogger. He really is kind of like one of, like, the biggest nerd icons there is around these days.
No, it's a big get. Has he been here before? Pardon my ignorance.
He has not, no. Oh,
okay.
This is his first time coming to Pensacola, so we're very, very excited. And tickets are available now for Pensacon. It's happening February 20th through 22nd. You can get them at pensacon.com.
The one thing I want to ask you is he being tasked with or allowed to oversee any kind of a board gaming competition, a room, anything like that? Because I think that'd be a real neat twist on, you know, what Pensacon does. And, of course, you know, he's so into board games.
I mean, we have not discussed that, but we pretty much let our guests do anything they want to do within the limits of, you know, taste and law. So, you know, if he wants to, we'd certainly accommodate that.
Yeah, no, I think it'd be an interesting branch out for Pensacon. So just a thought anyway. Yeah.
Well, you know, gaming is a big part of Pensacon.
Right. Oh, right.
People don't realize that. So yeah, you know, that would be awesome. I want to say too, really quickly, I know we got to wrap up. Got another big guest announcement coming on Monday. I can't say anything about it yet, but stay tuned on Monday, too.
Tell me Monday when I can say it. All right, fair enough. Julio Diaz, he is the host of Let's Go Pensacola, 4 o'clock Saturdays here on News Radio, and also the host of the Pensacola Movie Club. Follow them on Facebook, and a key organizer in Pensacon as well. Julio, as always, thank you for the time. We'll talk to you next week, sir.
All right, thanks, Andrew.
PJ is sitting in for John Pickens today with traffic on the fives.
High 10 and 110 are both looking good at this hour. Also, Pensacola Boulevard at West Burgess Road, they're saying there's a vehicle crash there. Looks like the roadway's back open. There was a roadblock. Also, Mobile Highway at Softly Field Road, they got a vehicle crash with a roadblock there, so use caution. Areas of patchy fog this morning. Use those headlights. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Why should baby boomers stop telling Gen Zers that they're very mature for their age? Find out next on the Transgressors Memorial Service. I'm Andrew McKay.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Benakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Benakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Benakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Benakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Benakis & Associates. Now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Benakis & Associates. Leave the numbers to the experts.
Hey there, homebuyers and sellers. I'm Will.
And I'm Angela.
With Cannell & Company Realty.
Your dynamic real estate duo.
We're not just realtors, we're real estate MVPs. With a game plan tailored to your needs, we'll score you the home of your dreams.
Whether it's finding the perfect starter home or selling to upgrade, your goals are our goals, and we'll make sure you come out on top. Angela Sherrill, 850-292-3165.
Will Maven, 850-261-7020 or at willmaven.com.
Here are the News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 contest rules. You can win one prize per household per contest in any 30-day period, unless specified by individual contest rules. All prizes on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 are non-transferable, non-redeemable for cash, or exchangeable for any other prize. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 prizes must be redeemed within a 30-day period of winning. For a complete list of rules, visit newsradio923.com.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings before Pep Talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
This week, we have something special prepared for you, courtesy of the fine thought leaders at Veg Out Magazine, the premier advocacy platform for conscious living and the plant-based movement. According to Veg Out and their superior work in the Wokealytics of Offendedness, there are several expressions commonly used by baby boomers that trigger millennials and Gen Z unintentionally. And that is why it is so important to cancel them, because a healthy society is one in which no one is ever offended by anything. And the sillier the offendedness, the more important it is to cater to it. In these expressions, the tragic truth is that boomers think they are complimenting Zs, but of course, their compliments flow from outdated value systems and are therefore highly offensive to the young people of today. The service rendered by Veg Out in bringing attention to this vital issue instructs us to remember that even if you intend something as a compliment, that doesn't matter. What matters is whether the recipient of your comment feels praised or insulted. As Flibertnik's Fifth Theorem on Linguistic Morality reminds us, offendedness is in the ear of the listener. And of course, you all remember Smolbert's second corollary to the Flibertnik's Fifth Theorem. Offendedness is always defined by the most easily offended member of the target group. As we like to say, in every group there is an offense taker in chief. Well, obviously we don't say in chief, since that's cultural appropriation and marginalizing to indigenous peoples. We prefer to say most skilled offense taker, which also reminds us that being offended is a skill, a talent we must all practice and hone to razor-sharp perfection, so that we, too, will be keenly offended whenever possible and thus purify others of their unacceptable use of ordinary language. Anywho, here are seven forbidden compliments. First, you're so articulate for your age. Although the boomer thinks he is offering a compliment, affirming the linguistic skill of a youngin, this is actually a highly condescending bit of shade. What? You think anybody under 50 is special if they can utter a simple, grammatically correct sentence? The intended praise transforms into a keen insult, because the implication is we should expect nothing more from young adults than drooling gibberish, and that's why the old folks celebrate finding one who can correctly spell words longer than five letters without using a spell checker, especially when said to a young person of color or anyone from a marginalized group. This further reinforces the patriarchy and perpetuates white supremacist culture, in which whitey is smart because he makes rules that invalidate the natural language of outgroups. Just because young people hate talking on the phone, have trouble writing essays longer than 64 words without the use of ChatGPT, and prove how overwhelmed they are time-wise by shortening perfectly good words into time-hurried reductions such as totes, feels, perf, and jelly, and just because this is all true of them, you still should not assume they are unable to communicate without the use of emojis and memes. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, you clean up nicely. Surely you're beginning to see a pattern. The stodgy old boomer looks around at a world full of casual attire and people living that soft life and suddenly thinks young people are all sloppy, slovenly, unkempt, and disheveled. Secretly judging all Zs as incapable of professional appearance, which, by the way, is a form of classism, since it marginalizes the poor who cannot afford nice clothes and non-whites for their alternative attire structures. This shady compliment implies the target is normally a hot mess, when in reality Gen Z has simply embraced a new set of standards for appearance that includes nose rings, colored hair, exposed midriffs, full sleeve tattoos, and let's just call them novel aromas. In addition, the insulting of the recipient's normal manner of appearance, the phrase, you clean up nicely, adds another layer of offensiveness by praising the youngling for conforming to colonizer couture and caving to the pressure to participate in the oppressor class. So, no, don't say it. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
The third and fourth expressions are similar enough to be grouped together. You're not like other Gen Zers, and you're mature for your age are both attempts to praise young people for being something other than youthful, drooling, babbling, doom-scrolling skin sacks. But that's exactly why praising them for being age traitors is really just an insult to their tribe and a way of othering them simultaneously as members of the group boomers find inferior, and then saying they aren't even successful at being members of that unacceptable group. Imagine saying to a boomer, You're not like other senior citizens. You're much less senile than I had expected based on your wrinkles and desiccated face. I bet you can even bathe yourself. So stop offending young people by praising them for just not being annoying, immature simps. Stop insulting their peers and stop insulting them by saying they're only valuable because they're unlike those peers you just insulted. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
A note at this point might be helpful. We realize the suffering caused by boomers with these phrases is probably unintentional, but remember, you are responsible for the effects of all your words. Even if they mean something completely different to other people than they do to you, that's your fault. If you or someone you know uses these phrases, someone else may be entitled to compensation. Continuing on, the fifth offensive compliment from boomers to Gen Zers is good for you. Although boomers think this is a nice way of patting them verbally on the back, remember, you should never pat someone on the back without their consent. And complimenting is just touching people with your voice. The problem here is that older folks sound like they're gently praising a child for, you know, successfully tying their shoes or managing to get soup into their mouths without spilling, or even worse, patting a dog on the head for retrieving a ball or the morning newspaper, which, by the way, is a kind of small, flimsy book that only very old people read in print anymore. The young people don't want your approval, old man. They don't need your approval, old man. And they don't want your good for you either, old man. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Now, expression six is a bit tricky, but here goes. You're so tech savvy. Telling a young person this usually proceeds from the fact that old people can't do anything related to tech, an age-based disability that began with them not being able to set a clock on the VCR, which is what old people used to call Netflix. So to them, it's a genuine compliment, born of recognizing their own incompetence. Unfortunately for Gen Z, they are digital natives, and so you're usually just complimenting them on something that is completely standard for someone their age, therefore not at all special. Also, it's reductivist, because what it usually means is that a young person's value to the old person is not their advanced degrees or training or anything unique to them, but some basic geek squad function like understanding spreadsheets, editing photos, or not using password as your password. Just as you would think it insulting to be praised for knowing how to use a fork or print your name, telling a youngster you're so tech-savvy is almost always going to be an insult. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
So that is this week's list of canceled phrases, courtesy of Veg Out magazine. Also, a note that even though the title Veg Out is clever for a vegan magazine, you should never use the phrase, I'm going to veg out, because that's offensive to the mentally nonconforming, whom mean people used to refer to as vegetables. The slur is, of course, doubly insulting because it says cognitively non-standard persons are like plants, and also because it implies that those plants are somehow less precious than the humans, which is speciesist. So remember, be careful about your compliments because, as we always say, sticks and stones may break your bones, but words can really hurt you. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
And now, brethren, sisterin, and otherin, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.
You know, I made a mistake. It's not speciesist to say plants are equal to humans or different from humans. It's kingdomist, right? Your biology teachers, kingdomist, right? Isn't it? Kingdom, family, class, order, family, genus, species. Did I do that right? My God, it's been 30 years. 35. All right, anyway, who's having flashbacks of Bunsen burners and, well, I guess it's more chemistry. I ruined the moment. All right, PJ's got traffic on the fives. I'd do that. Go ahead,
still
PJ.
Working that vehicle crash. Pensacola Boulevard at West Burgess Road. They're saying the roadway's open now. Also, a vehicle crash with a roadblock. Mobile Highway at Softly Field Road. Use caution. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives. Back to you.
Such a nerd. I know it. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning. A fifth Venezuela-linked oil tanker has been boarded by the U.S. That's according to multiple reports today, which say the U.S. is monitoring other ships that are trying to evade the blockade of sanctioned tankers traveling to and from the South American country. The ship that was boarded is named the Olena and has apparently been sanctioned for transporting Russian oil. Millions in the eastern part of the country under a threat of severe weather today could be flooding and tornadoes across the south and the Gulf Coast.
Are we under I saw it on the news a little bit, but we're not in a numbered zone for risk tonight, are we?
I don't believe so. Okay. At the moment.
All right.
And, of course, Andrew, high-profile incidents in multiple cities have a lot of protesters probably out and about today. The protests have not stopped in Minneapolis since the shooting there earlier this week. And yesterday in Portland, another shooting involving a federal agent when a driver allegedly tried to run over the agent. Shots were fired there. Two people were sent to the hospital.
All right, David, thanks so much. You know what, as I'm seeing the protests in Minneapolis, protests here, although very small by comparison in Portland and elsewhere, I know this makes me seem like the old white conservative guy, but I'm going to say it. Don't you people have jobs? Like, how is it on a moment's notice whenever there's some social disruption that's gotten your attention on Twitverse or whatever, and you know, all of a sudden you're able to just drop everything and go participate in the latest poster board manufacturing protest? I actually do kind of joke, I might make this into a transgression, you know, are these things ginned up by like big card stock and, you know, it's like Sharpie out there, you know, orchestrating these things to generate sales? All of it is, I don't think I've ever participated in a protest, and it's not fair to me for me to say because I have this platform. But still, it just, you know, once a decade, doesn't that seem more like the norm? But you know, every couple of months you're in a protest. I mean, at some point you move from being an amateur to being maybe an unpaid professional, a protest intern, let's say.
I'm Therese Crowley. This time, illegal migrant gang members accused of ramming Border Patrol agents as protest spreads to Portland, Oregon. Fox's Chanley Painter.
According to DHS, the Border Patrol agents were conducting a targeted vehicle stop around 2 p.m. local time yesterday. But when, quote, agents identified themselves to the vehicle occupants, the driver weaponized his vehicle and attempted to run over the law enforcement agent.
Agents fired defensive shots. The migrants fled and erroneously reported to 911 they'd been shot by ICE. Minnesota Governor Tim Walz evoking images of the Civil War, but calling for a day of peaceful protest over the fatal ICE shooting there. President Trump meets oil executives about rebuilding its oil production in Venezuela, and the U.S. added 50,000 jobs in December. The unemployment rate fell more than expected at 4.4%. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 8:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. 68 degrees this morning. We've had a foggy start to the day, but we'll get a full look at our forecast and see how long that's going to be hanging around here in just a few minutes with Brooke Richardson and Channel 3. A British company is headed to America. They're going to be headquartered right here in Escambia County. The county commission yesterday agreeing to offer a 10-year tax exemption for aerospace company Field International Group. They're planning to invest millions of dollars and add 50 jobs, which would pay at least around $80,000. A company official says Escambia County offers a strategic location, pro-business climate, and a skilled workforce. Escambia commissioners also postponing discussion yesterday about future plans for the Midtown Commerce Park to conduct updated soil testing. The 100-acre site on North Palafox was the location of the largest environmental relocation effort in American history. After toxic chemicals were discovered in 1997, more than 400 homes in the minority neighborhood were relocated after a wood treating company left the chemicals on the site between 1942 and 1982. The EPA did clean the site up, but no homes can be built there. County leaders believe that that restriction could be lifted with updated testing. The University of West Florida Board of Trustees voted to select Manny Diaz officially as the university's next president yesterday. Diaz has served as interim president now for more than 6 months. He was the only finalist considered for the permanent position. His approval comes with an annual salary of $674,000 and about $300,000 in benefits. The hire is pending approval by the Florida Board of Governors. The lone dissenting vote was cast by Faculty Senate President Dr. Heather Riddle, who cited concerns about the selection process with only one finalist from 84 applicants. Well, Amtrak adding an extra coach car to their trains between Mobile and New Orleans for Mardi Gras. The additional capacity will begin today and run through February 23rd. The bonus car will be added to trains 23 and 26 on all four itineraries. Train 23 departs Mobile for New Orleans daily at 6:30 a.m. Train 26 departs New Orleans for Mobile at 5:31 p.m. each day. The Southern Rail Commission requested the extra capacity back in December. Officials say the Mardi Gras service earns the highest customer satisfaction ratings of any Amtrak line in the entire United States. Amtrak says their service is on track to double its original customer estimate since they launched in August. Well, a newly filed Florida Senate bill is targeting THC-infused beverages. Of course, those have been gaining a lot of popularity recently. Senate Bill 1368 creates a strict regulatory framework for sale, distribution, and possession of the drinks. The legislation would ban consumption or possession of open containers by drivers or passengers in vehicles. It would also make it illegal for anyone under 21 to have them. Retail sales would be restricted to establishments already licensed to sell alcoholic beverages. Senate Bill 1368 will be considered during the upcoming legislative session, which begins on January 13th. It is 8:35 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with PJ.
Thank you, David. Still working that vehicle crash with the roadblock, Mobile Highway at Softley Field Road. Also, no delays on 3 Mile Bridge, 9 miles accident-free. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much. Now our Channel 3 forecast.
We are going to be looking at temperatures staying warm as you go through your day today. Touch of some fog this morning. High near 75 degrees this afternoon. 20% chance of a shower or thunderstorm. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 67. Heading into Saturday, 80% chance of showers and thunderstorms. High near 75. Going into Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 48. For Sunday, partly cloudy skies. High near 57. And Sunday night, temperatures dropping near 36. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And we've got 68 degrees right now. Looks like that fog is still hanging around parts of the area, but possibly lifting a bit in some areas as well. 8:35 right now. Your money now. Taking a look at our opening numbers on Wall Street. The Dow is up about 0.4% this morning at 448.27. S&P up about 0.25% at 69.40.13. The NASDAQ up about 0.2% at 23.529.50. That 10-year bond rate today up a bit at 4.19%. Gold prices are up $43 at $53.07.70. Silver up $3.43 at $78.57. And Bitcoin is down almost 0.5%, $445 right now, sitting at $90,264.12. Looking at a few of those financial headlines this morning, the December jobs report is out, shows a largely stable labor market. Figures from the Labor Department show 50,000 jobs added last month. The unemployment rate fell to 4.4% for the full year. Payroll gains averaged 49,000 per month, sharply lower than 2024. Analysts called the report a mixed bag, with the Federal Reserve likely to hold interest rates steady for now. President Trump set to meet with oil executives today at the White House. He's trying to spur investment into Venezuela's oil infrastructure. The meeting comes after the U.S. captured Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro and brought him to New York to stand trial on drug trafficking charges. Trump accused Venezuela of stealing American oil when it nationalized its assets years ago. The president said this week that it could take less than a year and a half to restore Venezuelan oil production, with the U.S. possibly reimbursing oil companies for their work. Elon Musk's AI chatbot Grok has now turned off its image editing function for most users. This comes after it faced backlash for allowing users to create explicit images of women and children. The function is now only available for paying subscribers. Some of the explicit images were reportedly of a 14-year-old Stranger Things actress, Nell Fisher. The UK has threatened to ban X if Musk didn't take action. In a post last week, Grok acknowledged that XAI could face possible Justice Department probes or lawsuits due to those images. It's 8:38. Our next news at 9. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Hey, Pensacola. Get ready for a midday delight that'll have you hooked. Weekdays from 11 until 2 on News Radio Pensacola. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins are their dynamic trio that'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud during your lunch break. They dish out the hottest topics, bring you the latest news, and deliver their unique blend of humor and insight that'll have you coming back for more. It's the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show on News Radio Pensacola. 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Said a hip hop, the hip hip hop, you don't stop. Rap.
I will definitely call you back later then.
Come on, wrap it up.
Big sharp it up.
Okay, you know what? Wrap up the circle thing. Come on.
Commissioner Parker, wrap it up, please.
Okay.
Okay, everybody, that's a wrap.
That's a wrap. It's a chance to talk about the news and events and topics of the week or whatever we wind up talking about, which is often the more fun stuff. With a couple of friends here in studio with me, Jonathan Owens and Josh Newby, both repeat offenders, who I think at this point, neither of them needs an introduction. Well, Josh is the executive director of the Council on Aging West Florida. And
you gave me second billing here. I just want you to be aware of that.
Well, alphabetically, you do come. Oh, dang.
Yeah. This is.
No, you do come second. Josh versus Jonathan.
Newbie. Let's go last.
I don't do last names. It's first names in my phone. Are you a last name person in your phone book? In your
contacts? No.
First names, right?
Yeah, first names.
So what are you whinging about?
That I'm second billing.
Oh, all right.
Second on the call sheet.
Jonathan, hello.
Gen Z.
No, he's not. No. He's
don't
a millennial.
Don't you dare.
Wow, talk about generation.
Talk about offended.
Don't you dare.
Offended. What'd you think of the boomer phrases? Don't use these boomer compliments.
They make sense to me. I could see them being microaggressions, to use a millennial word.
Millennial.
You know, I didn't even use that term in transgressions. I definitely should have. That's fantastic. All right, well, let's talk about UWF. That's, I think, the biggest thing. And both of you are very... Like, it's of personal interest to you because, let's see, Josh, you graduated UWF,
twice,
right?
Yeah.
Okay. And Jonathan went there.
Graduated Pensacola Junior College.
Okay.
Went to UWF after that. You know, the easy transition, which
sure,
you referenced
yeah.
on the show this morning. My daughter is attending there now since she's working on her master's since she finished at FSU. So while she's transitioning to go to dental school. So, yeah, I care about UWF.
Transitioning to dental school.
Yes.
Not transitioning.
No, transitioning to dental school. Get out of your transgressors yeah. memorial, buddy. That was the last
Fair
segment.
Enough, sorry.
Let her keep going to that liberal institution, though.
Okay. Happen. All right. So this is my first question. There's so much to talk about here. First question, Manny Diaz as president. Thoughts? I've said I hated the process. Zach Smith is just, what a disaster. But, you know, terrible process. But I like Manny. I respect Manny. You know, time will tell, I think, in a way. But I prefer a guy with a PhD. I'm sympathetic to that concern. But certainly in the field of education and state politics, he's got more than a PhD in experience. So, you know, I'm certainly willing to see how it goes. And his vision is interesting. But as a selection, as a process, thoughts?
If he's that
the most talkative
great.
People I know are both like...
Well, I want to be careful what I say. I have been told that he is a very nice man, a good leader, a competent professional. I've been told that by people I trust, elected people that I trust.
That fits with my experience with him.
But if he is so incredible, then he should have naturally risen to the top.
Shouldn't have needed the reduction to one.
I just can't see this as anything other than a craven political appointment.
By DeSantis. I don't disagree.
And I think that he has to know this. He has to know this is the community's perception of him. Belle Bear had a Save UWF sign outside of her house
right.
when he came in. I cannot trust the process, and therefore I cannot trust the man until he proves otherwise.
Yeah, so there's a certain sense that when that is true of you in a community that you're not from, and you allow yourself to take the benefit of the favoritism mm-hmm. that's given to you in spite of that. I mean, that says something a
yes.
little bit, you know, because maybe what you say is, you know what, the community clearly doesn't want me and, you know, I'm going to allow
right.
that. At the same time, I think Manny has really reached out a lot. He's talked to a lot of people. He's doing all the things you'd have to do to overcome it.
Right. He's trying.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and really trying hard. Jonathan?
He's in the job. Let's give him a chance.
Yeah, I'm saying.
Yeah. How he got there, I mean, we're in the panhandle the far west, wild, wild west panhandle of Florida.
The central time zone, for God's sake.
Yes, we are in the central time
Good
zone.
Good Lord. Yeah.
Everything's political here.
No, come on, stop.
I mean, everything
what?
Is political here. Of
what
course
do you mean?
It is. I mean,
I don't see that in the county commission
but
at
that's,
all.
But that's what was nice about UWF.
Yeah.
Is it was sort
oh, it was
of,
the last bastion
sort
of not
apolitical.
Political. It was apolitical.
And now it
I
is.
I can see that. Well, I mean, it's the world we live in today, though. I mean, you know.
But let's talk about future, okay? His vision for UWF is clearly to not stay what it is. Now, he's said size is not the issue. He's not trying to grow the enrollment massively. My first question after I was listening to him talk about his picture for the future, you know, being a first choice, being a number one instead of a three, competing essentially with FSU in Florida and even out-of-state schools, being a draw that people want to come here and not just a safety school, you know, lowering the acceptance rate because you have so much demand, not necessarily increasing the size of the campus. I think what he's said about vision for the future inevitably means growing the size of the campus to probably 25 or 30,000 people. If what he wants to have happen, that's what I see happening. And that means a totally different university than what people who have grown up here or know this as. And I think there's a real vision clash, and that's kind of going to be surprising to some people. But growth is always a surprise to people. So I don't know. Jonathan?
We've had explosive growth over the past 5 years just from a population standpoint here in
Escambia
and Santa Rosa County, right, which is the college that supports these two westernmost counties. I mean, change is hard, right? And it's coming. With more people, you expect the university to stay, you know, small and quaint. Would I like to go back to Pensacola Junior College? Being Pensacola Junior College, it's now Pensacola State College.
Yeah.
I mean, growth is inevitable. UWF is, whether you like the leadership there or not, it's what the current world that we live in. And let's give them the opportunity. I mean, just like with politics, pendulum swing back
sure.
and forth, left and right.
Sure.
The next president may be appointed by a
we
different
We do have
governor.
A gubernatorial election this
right.
year. You never know what's going to happen.
You know, you never can tell.
I will say
it might be unseated. It might be removed by the next governor.
Right?
Who knows?
I don't hate his plan. As much as I disapprove of him or the process by which he got there.
You have to understand that from Josh, that is massive praise.
Yeah, I don't.
Because he hates a lot of things.
I'm a hater. Known hater. No,
other generations.
Yeah. I don't.
Yeah, mostly.
I don't hate the plan. I listened to your summary. I read your synopsis. And I getting my master's there, just academically, you know, student life, I've never been big on student life. You know, it was a commuter campus when I went there.
Right.
But academically, it has a lot of room to grow. And getting my master's, like trying to get my thesis published, for example, there's not an R1 institution.
Yeah,
not an R2 institution. So it's hard to get research published. It's hard to advance new knowledge. And if that is part of his plan, which it seems to be, then honestly, I'm in favor of that.
You know, it's actually kind of an interesting note. I'm glad you mentioned that. We'll come back to this in just a second. We got PJ with Traffic on the Fives.
I-10 and 110 both looking good at this hour. Highway 90 is clear from Milton to Pace. Cervantes is clear through the curve on Scenic. I'm PJ with your Traffic on the Fives. Back
Thanks
to you.
Thanks so much, PJ. You know, you mentioned something just now I had not put together. But at the board meeting the last time around, there was a big discussion about the neutrality statement. And the faculty had wanted to massage it a little bit to include more of an innovation, creation of knowledge, research mm-hmm. element that got squashed by Adam Kissel and Zach Smith and voted down, even though I thought Dick Baker was exactly right that you should listen to the faculty.
Right.
Weirdly, what the faculty wanted to include is better aligned with what Manny Diaz wants the university to be. Growing prestige, research, publication, being known for those things. So looking back now, it kind of looks like a misstep by the board in contrast with what he was trying to do. Because, you know, just I hadn't thought about it. You just mentioned it.
I'm thinking through that, like, as you mentioned that. I know that, I mean, even going back to when I worked there, which was 15 years ago, Faculty Senate was always big, big, big on research dollars.
Yeah.
I mean, even the IRB out there is sort of skeletal. But
IRB meaning?
Institutional Review Board.
Okay.
Sorry. And so it's interesting if there is going to be some tension between Manny Diaz's ambitions for greater academic excellence and Zach Smith's and ilk's disapproval of any sort of
like conservative teach what already exists instead of creating stuff for the future. Yeah, no. And look, I think weirdly the sense that I know I feel as UWF parent that It's kind of like my school. It's my community school. Don't change it. Don't grow it. Don't make it. You know, don't. It was a school. I mean, my kids could have gone to Florida or FSU or, you know, kind of anywhere. And they chose, you know, for Emmy and also for wanting to live at home, they chose to go to UWF. But for a lot of people, UWF is the school they go to because they can't get in or they can't afford or, you know, don't want to live off campus or whatever reason. That's going to change.
Yeah.
I mean, if what he does is, you know, your acceptance rate's going to go from 60 to, what, 40, maybe 30%, you would imagine, unless you grow the school. And he says there's tension there. So but is it fair for us to think of UWF as kind of our thing, since it is a state-funded, state institution, state service? It's not UCF, it's not USF, but those clearly are the paradigms he's looking at it through.
I mean, is it our school? Geographically, yes. Our
right.
School,
because, like, get on the mic a little bit more.
I'm sorry. We're at the end of the world as far as Florida goes, right? But right. Just across the line, might as well be Alaska. But, I mean, so it's our school.
Right. But it can be both, right? I mean, give us a law school. You know, it can still be our school and have a law school, you know, or have become an R2 or R1 institution. I think it can be both. And I think that if Manny Diaz is wise, he will listen to the voices in this community that want both.
Yeah.
Want a local brand identity, want a local presence in nonprofits, in community events, in festivals, et cetera, while still, you know, being an excellent institution, academically excellent institution.
And I will say this, I think UWF has improved in one way that maybe we don't talk a lot about. When I first came here, UWF kind of was insular. It kind of was just that school in the woods north of town. And they have done a lot of things. I think having football played downtown helped with that. More investment in stuff downtown in terms of the museums and the green mm-hmm. and the village and just all the different ways that they're much more involved in the community, I think, than they were, you know, 12 years ago when I first moved here. But again, we're talking about, you know, let's say doubling the size or not quite doubling the size over time.
Well, just real quickly, sorry to interrupt, Andrew, but yeah. Let's not forget those were very assuming the Pensacola Museum of Art, assuming the Historic District.
Yep, yep.
That was all a Business Enterprises decision under Martha Saunders.
Right.
That was very and the golf course, too. That was all very controversial at the time, and now we see that it was
great
incredible.
Ideas, yeah. I mean, becoming an R1 and a D1 for mm-hmm. athletics, you would think, you know, those are both kind of on the agenda here. I don't know, it'd be kind of neat to live in a town like that. Also, another dimension of this that he talked about is on-campus services, on-campus activities, restaurants, I don't know, bars, if that's really on the agenda, but, you know, renovating the Cannon Green, renovating the Union, just making, you know, a lot of improving dorm life, all of that stuff, not too much at the expense of the trees, but making it a place people want to live on campus instead of being so much a community school. That is a big change, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
A commuter school and a residential school are very different entities from the experience of the student, right?
Right. I mean, look at FSU. I mean, you're downtown Tallahassee.
Yeah.
You know, in comparison to UWF, I mean, just my experience from going over with my daughter in Tallahassee, I spent a lot of time in Tallahassee prior to her being there, so I was familiar, but having a student there and just the walkability of it, UWF doesn't lend itself to that without future development of, you know, resources on campus. I mean,
right.
Everything. You know, you went there, I went there.
Yeah.
It traffic, even 20 years ago, 30 years ago, however long it was when you went there, but it was difficult to traverse campus,
yes.
You know, to get from class to class.
Oh, like famously difficult.
Yeah, like, oh my God, I got to get another parking spot on the other end of the one-way street.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, exactly.
The other thing that's kind of come up, and I know it's kind of all UWF, but you guys are both so into it, I thought it'd be worth talking about this a little bit and getting your perspective if you disagree with me, of course, always. The Center for Civic Republicanism, this kind of study of civic society, you know, discourse, engagement. The name has drawn this kind of flashpoint about, well, Republican, right? But I love the idea of what they're trying to do. And, you know, the idea of debate and discussion and openness and interaction and engagement and fostering the teaching of civics. I mean, my God, you know, I do this every day, right? I'm trying to teach people how government works, what it does, what it doesn't do, what you should think about it and all that. And, you know, I know a lot of times what I have to do is educate people about the things that as Americans we should all know. But
right.
We don't, you know, we're pretty, you know, the reputation of Americans as knowing less than we do is not an unfairly acquired reputation.
What did we have on Saturday morning? I'm just a bill.
That's right.
I mean, there is no Saturday morning
as
anymore.
As dumb as it was, it was effective.
It was effective, and it's still stuck, you know, 40, 50 years
I still know what
later.
A conjunction is right. Because conjunction, of conjunction.
That's right. What's your function? Right? I mean, but that's not, you know, broadcast television was how we got our information. That's not the case anymore. It's, you know, whatever the social media platform decides to stream to us, whatever flavor ice cream we like.
Do you let your kids have phones?
No. Well, they have a phone, they share. And then it creates consternation between the two of, oh, I want the phone. So, hey, guess what? Dad takes the phone. When I hear someone say, raise their voice or whatever, hey, guess what? Dad gets the phone and it goes away.
You know what I secretly love about your plan, though, is you know they can't abuse it too much because it's only available to one of them.
Right.
Yeah. Love that. Here, fight over this. Look at you doing a social experiment.
Right. And when there's silence.
Your one is 12. How's the other one?
One's about to be 11 and 10 right now, but one's about to turn 12. And when there's silence in the house,
oh,
I'm like,
scary.
Oh, they're on the phone together.
Yeah.
So bringing people together.
Right, I'm bringing people
That's
together.
That's truly
so
what
phones do. Hey, girls, what are y'all doing?
But I assume no social media.
No. No social media. The YouTube is the biggest thing that they're on all the time. They want
and that
YouTube.
One, we let our kids watch you. And you know what? Looking back, honestly, I mean, I probably wouldn't have done that.
Yeah. So I tell the girls, I was like, look, the phone is like a hammer. You can either build things with it or destroy it with it. And that technology is, that's how you should look at it. I want you on YouTube to learn something new. If I walk in and you're watching, you know, some just brain rot kind of
AI slop.
Skibbity brain rot.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That, you know, get off the phone. I mean, if you come over here and say, hey, Dad, check out this video I just watched. And this is how this works. So I learned my 12-year-old plays piano by ear. But so she will watch a YouTube video on playing something, rewind it, play it.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
in like 15 minutes, she's playing a song. So
that's awesome.
That's
as a
fantastic.
As a resource used as a hammer, effectively, yes.
Yeah.
Agreed. But even, you know, a loaded gun has a great use and a great danger.
Right.
Yes. So we'll take a quick time out. PJ's got traffic on the fives.
There's a brand new vehicle crash, Gulf Breeze Parkway at Redfish Point Road. They're saying there's no roadblock associated with that. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives. Back to you.
Couple of big economic development announcements this week. American Magic opened. Sail GP is coming. That's the the racing series for 50-foot catamaran, hydrofoil catamarans. That's a training ground here. And then, of course, yesterday the county voted on the e-date for the, Field International that is now coming. That was the Project Britain. Santa Rosa is just exploding. Economic development in Santa Rosa. They can't build, industrial parks fast enough. This kind of ties into future industries, opportunities, things that could grow, but it also... Growth is a challenge to us being
where
this
are you going
sleepy
to educate
little town.
Them in the really, really small UWF college that you don't want to grow?
Yeah.
I mean.
Well, we've, and also schools.
Right.
I mean, at the schools, which is a sort of a perennial challenge. We actually, the naval leaders were here. The CNO was here. Secretary of the Navy and the Commandant of the Marine Corps and the CNO went and toured like in Pascagoula. So they're looking at shipbuilding in the area. We don't quite have that same capacity here, but close by. Panama City, Mobile, right?
I'm surprised hasn't happened, and maybe it's happening, and I just don't know it. And Josh may have a better insight on this. With our population growth and the step-up program that the state has, the scholarship programs, I'm surprised we're not seeing more private schools opening here.
Yeah.
Right?
I am, too. Yeah. It is weird.
You know?
I mean, I know the public schools complain about it. They complain about loss of students, but...
There's only so many seats in a private school. I mean, my daughter's at St. Paul's, and
you would think that Escambia County would be a very available environment if the money's there, and the complaints a lot of people have about the schools are there. Why not?
It's hard to get a voucher. That was at least our experience. We were trying to get my son goes to Cordova Park, which is a public school. We were trying to get him into EDS. It's hard to get a voucher.
Really? I thought the problem with the vouchers was we were dumping money out the side of the car.
It's hard for a parent to do the paperwork, to go through the process, the bureaucracy of attaining the voucher. That was our experience. And, I mean, we're both college
How long ago was that?
This was 2 years ago.
Okay.
We're both college-educated, white-collar professionals. It was difficult for us, so much so that we gave up.
Interesting. I know the Step Up program, I've talked with some folks who run, private, companies that would have been able to take that money. There was an issue with Step Up. I think it was last year for sure, or the year before. I forget which one it was, but that some of that's been fixed as well. So it might have gotten a better process. I know exactly what you mean, though, feeling like, I am not dumb, and this is hard for me.
Yes, very.
And so I'm not sure how anybody manages
but also
to
have
get
a place
dumb.
To put them in, too.
Right, the seats are not there.
Right, we tried to get our daughters went to St. Anne's. Not St. Anne's, I'm sorry. Sacred Heart. They went to Sacred Heart originally, then went to M.B. Cook. And then we couldn't get them back into Sacred Heart because they were full.
Really?
So we got them to St. Paul's. I love St. Paul's. It wasn't that it was a second choice.
Right.
It was, we applied to all of them like scatter bomb, you know,
shotgun
effect.
Shotgun.
Who do we get?
Yep.
You know, but we got into St. Paul's and love it. It's fantastic. My 10-year-old is excited to come to go to St. Paul's. She was wanting to go to Brown Barge, but now that her sister's at St. Paul's, she's like, I want to go.
Okay. So, well, very good. All right, so we have exactly like 30 seconds left.
Sweet.
So what do you think is going to happen in Venezuela, Iran, and Greenland?
Well, stuff. Empire building is what's going to happen.
Yeah, nation building. Yeah, I love it.
We're at the empire stage of the United States.
That's what we're here
at the beginning of what could well be an effort to build empire. I mean, clearly. And it could be something entirely different, but you just don't know because the
Trump's
range,
just been honest about it.
The range of things he says is so wide that it's hard to tell where the action's going to fall within that range. But I don't disagree.
That's great for our allies.
Because?
If I'm a NATO ally, man, I'm loving it right now. I'm sarcastic.
You're not exactly
NATO,
Denmark.
NATO's
you're
on
not really wondering
his
you
know,
what piece of Italy are we going to carve off next?
Right.
Okay. All right. Well, Sicily, I hear, is available.
And beautiful this time of year.
Josh and Jonathan, thank you.
Stream us at newsradio923.com. News Radio.